There's so much potential.
Liars.
You don't represent women in politics.
Fucking talking points.
Celebrity interviews, uplifting stories.
Bullshit.
Shop our favorite.
Where's that independent guy?
What makes a police officer choke someone out in broad daylight who's crying for the mother who's telling them that they can't breathe?
Yep. Got it. It's the king of independent talk. America's only independent voice. Rob Redding.
First of all, I just want to say thank you, Mr. Redding, for being the voice of the voiceless, man. You're very important.
You know, people say that racism comes from a construct of not being educated. I don't think any of those things are actually the answer.
Where's my Twitter?
You know that I'm enjoying the show this morning. What is your name again?
We need to be listening to your voice and your station at drive home time.
I've just recently learned about the radio show, and you're on it.
The gloves are off, and Mr. Nice Guy has left the damn building. He's the baddest bisexual in talk history. This is Ready News Review, Unrestricted.
This is Ready News Review, Unrestricted. I'm Ready News Review, Unrestricted. This is Ready News Review, Unrestricted. This is Ready News Review, Unrestricted. Welcome to the program. Guys, I want to pick up with where I left off yesterday. I told you I was going to do this. I told you I was going to do a part one, part two on Tiger Woods. And I do want to talk to you about my leg injury. I do. Because I haven't talked about it in some time. It's been about a year and 6 months. Yeah, November, December, January, February, March, April. And May, it's coming up. It's about 6 months since I have, quote-unquote, passed a year since the accident. And so it's one of those things when I see Tiger Woods limping off, this is the thing you got to be really careful about. You got to be really careful here. And I know it sounds great. You know, we ran clips yesterday about, you know, how valiant he was, how it's admirable how he won, even despite that he didn't win, the fact that he was able to complete it. Most people didn't think he would be able to compete with it, the leg. Let me just say that as someone who has had a traumatic leg injury, someone who has had to be stitched back together again, who has had a cadaver's parts put into him, you know, having to be sewn back together, bolts and, you know, plates, those are kind of things that are really radical approaches. To this day, dogs still come up to my legs and sniff my leg because they know that something's not right, because they sense these things. They literally lick. I mean, I remember one time I was on a train and I felt something wet on my leg. It was in the middle of summer, or it was spring or something like that. I was on a train and I looked down and it was a dog. A dog was literally licking my leg, and it was really sweet of the dog, but I know why he was licking my leg. And the owner said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I looked down and I saw something wet on, you know, felt something wet on my leg, and I looked down and I saw that a dog was literally licking my leg. Like, I don't know this dog. I'm just on the train. I'm just standing up with everybody else. I didn't even want to be standing up. More on that in a moment. But the fact is, I looked down and I saw a dog. And the owner is so disheveled. She's like, "I don't know why he's doing that." I said, "I know why. Because I had surgery there." And so anytime I meet a dog that's high enough, you know, when I say high enough, tall enough, they either smell or they lick my leg. If it's already, of course, in a pants situation, they sniff it. If it's a situation where they are close to it and they're close enough, then they lick it, because they understand and know these things inherently. And so I have an allograft in my leg, and basically what that is cadaver, and that's what it is. It literally is a cartilage that was taken from a cadaver that was put in my leg. And so when these dogs come up to me, they understand that there's something in his leg that's not right, that's not like a human that I've come across. So they either smell it, or they lick it, or they know that it's there. Dogs have this sense, and I know it's there. I know it's there sometimes when I run, sometimes when I walk up the stairs, sometimes when I am bending down for something, or sometimes when I'm on my knees. I paint a lot of things that are on my knees, so I'm on my knees quite a bit. Those are things that stand out to me. But this is the thing that I want to tell you about that, and that is, it's not necessarily a pain. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, like for instance, if I change directions swiftly, I feel the rod. If I want to pop my knee, sometimes I used to do that. I have to pop it in a certain way. I can't pop it to the left. I have to pop it to the right because the plate is to the left. I remember the first time I popped my knee since the surgery, I felt the screws in it, and I don't feel it anymore in that way. I know that sometimes when I'm running, it depends on how I'm running, there is a way that I can put my foot down on the pavement. It doesn't feel great for my leg. And this is what the folks told me to do. They said, don't do that anymore. It's very simple. You just don't. You stop putting your leg down that way, and you change the way you're putting your leg down. When I say I'm putting my leg down, I'm talking about running. So you just think they're just quirks you learn. Sometimes going down the stairs, depending on the moment, my leg is tight. Sometimes going up the stairs, my leg is tight. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, my leg is tight. Depending on how I went to sleep, my leg is tight. And it takes a minute to kind of loosen up. Used to be I could just kind of like stretch it out, like take my the back of my leg and bend it up toward my buttocks, and it got more loose, and it doesn't really do that as much anymore. Sometimes it used to pop, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't, less frequently now that it does. Why am I going into all of these things? Is because these are the things that they tell you that are things that, you know, you will experience. But they also tell you, and they told me, and you heard yesterday, that many of the things that you experience mean that you probably won't ever be the same. And I'm sure they told Tiger Woods the same thing. We almost took your leg. You'll never be the same. You know, the fact that you'll be able to walk is going to be a miracle. And we saw him limping, right? And that's the issue that I want to talk about. We saw him limping. Look, there's one thing I've learned about, because I've exceeded every expectation. I mean, I'm doing 10 miles when I want to. I'm doing, you know, an average of 7 miles most days. These are things that I was told I would never be able to do. Sometimes I outrun buses. Now, that's a feat. Now, that might say, well, a bus doesn't move very fast. Oh, a bus moves a lot faster than you might think, even in traffic. So when you're able to do these things, when you're able to outrun people, sometimes I outrun people with a leg that's not supposed to be able to do that. That's amazing. It's not just mental. It's amazing. It is a feat in itself to do the things that I've done, to be able to walk upstairs, walk downstairs, to be able to outrun buses, to be able to outrun people, to be able to run 7 to 10 miles is not a small feat with this leg. I was told I wouldn't be able to do it. To be able to walk properly is one of those things. You know, it's funny. Sometimes I talk to people and they're just like, you know, it's raining outside or it's cold. You know, I wonder how your leg feels. You know, I wouldn't even think about it, to be honest with you. And I still don't. And the reason why is because I had a therapist a physical therapist who just said, I don't believe in that at all. So don't give me the fact that it's raining outside or it's cold or, you know, like that's an indicator of anything. You are at this point are about to do the best you can because you're going to have to work hard. And if you work hard, then you'll be able to run. You'll be able to jump. You'll be able to do these things. And because I had one of those people, they wouldn't let me believe in that. So, you know, when I go running, sometimes it's freezing cold outside. It doesn't hurt anymore. What hurts? Or what makes the leg feel different? How tight the pants are, how tight the thermals are, versus when I am in shorts, there's nothing pressing against it. There's not a pants leg that's pressing against it. Now, if I'm wearing a loose pant, which you wouldn't wear if you're running and it's cold outside, then, you know, it doesn't feel like anything bad. It doesn't feel like there's no pressure that I'm talking about. There's no pressure that I'm concerned about. what it is essentially it feels great. If I mean, outside of landing the wrong way or changing a quick position. When I say changing a quick position, I'm talking about like on a dime, like you would do, not thinking about it, if you were running or if you were moving swiftly, and just you decide to go left. You can't really do that on this leg. You can't do that. So I'm saying to you that where we are with the leg, and when I talk about the leg, and people ask me all the time, like, how do you feel? It just depends. It really depends. It's so random. It really is. But there is one thing I'm very, very clear on. There's one thing I'm very, very clear on why I'm telling you all of this. Is, and if they haven't told Tiger Woods this, and I'm sure Tiger has probably heard this before, you cannot limp. You absolutely cannot limp. Whatever you do, whether you're running, whether you're walking, you cannot develop a limp. And the reason why you can't do it is because it will fuck up your back. Now remember, Tiger Woods already has a bad back. I want to note something about the way he walked off of that golf course. He limped. It was noticeable. And even if it makes it feel better for you not to put all your pressure on that leg, it is better for you to put all your pressure on that leg and to walk straight. Because if you limp, you can fuck up your back. Period. End of story. And that's really important for Tiger to know and not to do. Because no matter how bad it feels, I have to walk straight. If you do not walk straight, you will fuck up your back. And you can do it faster than you can say back and be in pain. If you limp, you can mess up your alignment. You can mess up your hips. It is very important that Tiger walk straight. I think it's great that Tiger got out there, okay? But the moment he started to limp, I was concerned. Because even for a short time, it will fuck up his back. You have to walk straight. Look, like I said, I had a physical therapist who didn't believe that the cold affected your leg. She didn't believe that the rain, you know, was an issue, or the fact that it was about to rain or was an indicator of anything. You know, she just believed in hard work. Tough little Asian girl. Believed in hard work. And she did have me working very hard. I thank her for that. She said to me she was impressed with the fact that I was able to go run. I was told I wouldn't be able to run anymore, or that I wouldn't be able to run as fast as I ran before. I run pretty fast. I run pretty fast now still. Okay? When I want to run fast, I can run fast. Am I the fastest in the world? I never have been. Okay? It's taken a little bit out of me as a result of the way the leg used to be, okay? But the fact is, I can still run pretty fast. I can outrun a metro bus, which is pretty fast, okay? You don't get on the bus if you don't think you can run faster than the bus, okay? You don't get on the bus. And most people are not going to run, but you get on the bus because you think it's faster. Now, when you witness someone like me, who most people don't know of, you know, had a leg surgery, and, you know, a situation where they've had a cadaver put in their body, parts of a cadaver. If they knew I was out running their bus while they're on it, they see me running and not getting on the bus and beating them at every stop or beyond every stop where they do stop, and I literally run past them and I keep running and I get to where I'm going before they get to where they're going, even if they're in traffic. And they're just like, wow, you know. But if you think about it, right, and you think about what is going on with my leg and still do that, that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I'm not talking about just for a few blocks. I'm talking about outrunning a city bus for about 30 blocks. Okay, that's a long time to outrun a bus. Because a bus is moving. Okay, it's stopping, but it's also moving. And even if traffic is bad, you know, the light's going to change eventually and the bus is going to catch you. And either you're going to beat the bus again to the next stop, or you're not, or to the traffic light, or beyond the traffic light, or you're going to race through the traffic light because it stopped at the traffic light. You see your way clear. No one's going left. No one's going right. You go through the light, you know. So at some point, you're going to have to run through some lights. You're going to have to run through traffic. You're going to have to run through. You're going to have to run through a lot to beat a bus, okay? So my point is this. It's miraculous. It's great to see Tiger Woods out there. But I really want people to understand that Tiger's really got to do some work. Okay, he can't walk around limping. That is not the ticket. And you know, it's like, well, you know, most people put themselves in golf carts and they go around the golf course. You can't do that with the Masters. You got to walk it, and that's the thing. All right. So if he wasn't prepared to walk, then or even run or jog it, then he's not ready. Okay, and it looks great for him to be out there. It looks great for him to be out there and trying to do the best he can. But at the same time, he could be doing himself real damage. I just want to say this, and I'm going to say this in closing. I don't want to go too long on this. But they say that after the surgery, for the first year, that is the peak, right? And anything after that is going to be down. You're going to develop arthritis. I've already been told you're going to develop arthritis in your leg. It's going to happen eventually because you had a surgery. That, you know, for that first year, your leg will do nothing but improve. And it has. But now beyond that year. And I told you, sometimes, you know, when I bend it back, it pops. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I go down the stairs. Sometimes it's tight. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes I go up the stairs. Sometimes it's tight. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes when I start running, it hurts a little bit, especially if I put it down the wrong way. Then, you know, if I change that, if I change the way I'm putting it down, then that subsides the pain and makes the pain go away. It's not just adrenaline. I just have to just adjust how I'm running. Okay. There's a certain, don't get concerned. This is just common par for course for the leg. That's just how it is. It is a permanent injury. You know, the surgery is supposed to make it feel better and makes it better and makes the leg last longer, but that's just the way it is since you were hit by a fucking SUV, you know? So that's just the way it is. And, you know, I just have my after run routine that I use. You either use heat or you use ice. I use heat. I like the heat better. I like a really hot bath, and that has my leg feeling a lot better and helps it just kind of relax and loosen up and, you know, and all of that. I have a routine. So those things are really big for me. I don't believe in, you know, again, you know, this, it's cold outside, my leg hurts, or it's going to rain because my leg hurts. You know, that might be true, but I haven't noticed it to be true. Again, it's been about hard work, but the one thing I'm very clear on is that no matter how bad it feels, that I cannot limp. And every single time I catch myself limping, you know, sometimes I might want to limp. I stop myself from limping, even to this day when I get on the subway, because I don't know what it is about the subway, but my leg just doesn't like it. I mean, because it's always shifting. It's always doing this thing. And remember, with the movement of the subway, remember, if I put my leg down wrong when I'm running, remember I told you what happens. Or if I change on a dime, there's a sharp pain. You know, if I go to the left especially. And not really to the right, but to the left, because the plate is on the left-hand side. The screws actually go through the leg and into the leg, into the inside of the leg, to the right of the leg. And so you are in a situation where you're just kind of like, when you take that sharp left, it just kind of like, I don't know, goes into that cartilage or the cadaver cartilage, and it just, you feel the bones touch a little bit, and that's why there's a sharp pain. And also you feel the plate kind of twist, if that makes any sense, to the left of the leg. I know that I'm being very graphic here. The reason why I'm doing that is because I want you to understand your leg's never the same. It's never, ever, ever, it's never, ever the same. It never will be the same leg that it was before, and you're cognizant and aware of that, especially on a subway, where, you know, you're having to stand up, which it's kind of, you know, there's people with physical disabilities that, you know, they don't think, you know, that people understand, and it's absolutely true. I'm one of those people. You know, you kind of look at me, and I'm sitting down, and this old lady's standing up, and she's, you know, she's hovering above, like, why won't you give up your seat, you asshole? Because it looks like there's nothing wrong with me. But standing on the train is quite different for me than it is for somebody with a great leg. You can't see anything wrong with my leg. Remember, the only people that, you know, sense anything, or the only thing that can sense anything with my leg, or first of all, the people that can, or the people that know that I've had a surgery, or the dog that's like, there's something going on with your leg, like, let me lick it, you know? I'm sitting there standing back to the dog on the train, and the dog is just like licking my leg. Like, I know this hurts for you. I'm sorry, you know? So they sense that something's going on. They sense that something's wrong. They sense that something's not right with the leg, but people are looking at me like I'm an asshole because I don't give up my chair, or I fight to get a chair when I get on the train. Because again, all of that bouncing around is, you know, my knee going from right to left. And I already told you what it's like going to left toward the injury versus going right, because that plate bends a little bit. It touches a little bit. But no matter what, I can never, ever, ever limp. And that's why I'm concerned about Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods cannot be walking with a limp. If he walks with a limp, he won't be walking long. He's going to fuck up his back, and he truly will need a cane. And he won't be getting around the golf course. So this is a time to really cringe your teeth here, not just for Tiger Woods, you know, like possibly, you know, being a superstar like he was before on the golf course, but the fact that he really might not be able to return if he can't get himself together, like full control of his walk, because that walk is not good. You have to have seen it. It was not a good walk. And I want to see Tiger win. I want to see him get better. But he's got to make sure that he can walk the course. If he cannot walk that damn course, if he can't walk that course and he can't walk it in a normal way you walk up a course like most people, then he's in trouble. And that's a lot worse than anybody can imagine. I'm not a bone doctor. I'm not any type of physician, but I know what I've been told about walking and understanding you cannot limp. And I remember that first day I came home. I came home from the doctor, and stubborn me was told that, you know what, give it 2 more weeks without walking. And I started to walk anyway. But he cautioned me, and he said to me, he said, look, and even my therapist said to me, if you're walking and you're limping, it's not good. Just pick the crutches back up. It's no shame. Just let your leg heal a little bit longer. I went full weight bearing just a few weeks after my surgery, which is unheard of on my leg. And they were just telling me that as long as you're not limping, that's the bottom line. As long as you're not limping. And I remember how scared I was when I got that first x-ray afterward, because I had, you know, I had started walking ahead of anybody wanting me to, and I was hoping like hell that I hadn't done damage to my leg, and I didn't, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I didn't, and I thank him every day for it. But one of the things that I know about my recovery is no matter how bad my leg is, whether I'm on the train, I'm on the subway, where the fuck ever I am, whether I'm walking, whether I'm running, you cannot limp. You absolutely cannot limp. And if you do, you can fuck up your back. And that's the reason why we need to be really keeping our fingers crossed for Tiger Woods right now. It looks great that he was out there. It looks great that he was doing what he was doing this weekend. But it's a big question of whether he can continue to do it, especially if he can't get that leg together. Guys, I've had fun, but I gotta run. If I'm not here, I'm there. There is ReadyNewsV.com, the World Web. Reading like Otis, sitting on the dock of the bay, baby. NewsV.com, the World Web. Yes, it's my family. Yes, I'm late. I was ready, but it's not my money, which means I'm back away. Mañana, after 4 p.m., with more Reading News Review Unrestricted.